Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Hey, welcome to the podcast today. I'm Tom LeCompte.
And I'm Gavin Durson, and we appreciate you listening in today. We got a very, very important topic. In fact, you know, as we look at all these podcasts, it's hard we thought we kind of started out trying to put them in sequential order of some sort, but you really just can't do that because this is not a sequential type of thing when we talk about house church or discipleship or multiplication or these topics. But this one, really, if there was one you would kind of put up there around the top, it kind of affects everything, and that's the topic of leadership. And we want to talk about that today. And what does simple church leadership look like? What does it mean to be a leader in a simple church ministry? Unfortunately, Tom, I think a lot of folks think they can't be a leader because of the type of and the way that leadership has been defined in our culture and our society. Most people see great leaders and they think, well, I can never do that. I'm not a leader. I'm not like this person. I'm not like that person. I'm not like Pastor so-and-so. There's absolutely no way. And it doesn't even enter their mind that they could even be a leader in a church of any kind because of how we've taught people a leader is supposed to act and behave and how they're supposed to be gifted and this sort of thing. So,
and not only that, this media saturated culture has made us all idol worshipers, you know, and we look at our people that we like, whether they're actors or politicians or pastors that we see on the TV or hear on the radio or hear on the podcast, and we think we have to be like them. It'd just be a whole lot easier if I just joined their church. But that's kind of an anomaly, and that those people are rare. And if that's your standard, you're gonna have to think small. So we can't all be, you know, pick a name that you like. We can't all be that guy on the TV that you really really like.
And you can't be that. You can never be anybody other than who you are. And I think the thing that, you know,
what, and maybe God will make you that, but
yeah, he's going to challenge you for sure. Yeah. But you know, one of the things that I really believe is that, you know, it's kind of a cliche that everyone says is that we're all leaders of some sort. It's just a matter of where we're leading people.
Yeah.
And so everything you do is, you are a leader. You're other people that observe you or that are around you. You're leading them somewhere to do something, to think a certain way, by your actions, by the things you say and whatnot. So, you know, just off the top, right off the top, you know, one of the things we believe strongly in Simple Church is this idea, which every Protestant Christian holds dearly, at least in theology, is this idea of the priesthood of all believers. And so, right. You know, generally the priest is the leader, or the past senior pastor, or the staff of the church. Those are the leaders, and everyone else is kind of there to, sometimes it seems like we're there to kind of serve them and follow them. But really, in Simple Church, we really push this idea to the limit, that we're all priests, that we're all called to be ministers, and therefore all of us are going to be leaders in some capacity. Now, there's different gifts, and we'll probably address those in some podcasts we have in ancient podcasts. If you go through the files, how different gifts work.
We'll probably need to rehash them.
We'll be talking about that some more. But the idea of leadership, every person really can be a leader in Simple Church. And that's something we believe strongly in. It's something that the whole idea of last episode, we talked about multiplication. It's based upon this idea that anyone who has the Holy Spirit in them can lead a simple church. Now, I hear people say right now, that's not exactly true. I don't know that I believe that. But again, I want to challenge you to think, why is it that we have a hard time believing that? And I think it's because, again, of how we have grown to define leadership. And once again, kind of like the word multiplication, it's a word that gets used a lot, but I think rarely true multiplication is happening. Another one of those words that is used a lot, even in church, that I think I'm not really sure if ever is really actually practiced is this idea of servant leadership. And so when we talk about servant leadership in simple church, it really is a type of leadership where you have to serve others and put others before you. It's the picture of, I think, how can you get down on the ground so that others can stand on top of you and they can go to the places that God wants them to go. It's not always, how can I be a great leader of this simple church? But it's even from everything, it's how can I help other people be leaders? It's that posture in everything that we do. And that fleshes itself out very practically in a lot of ways when you take that approach.
Okay. As you're saying that, I'm having some thoughts as well. I agree with you. Anyone can start or lead a house church, at least for a amount of time. I can almost disagree with you that everyone is a leader. And I think leaders appear and float to the surface. You know, leaders are kind of made, not born. But I agree with you. Anyone can start the beginnings of a house church. I do agree with you there, and I do.
Let me just to clarify.
Okay.
When I say that anyone can lead, be a leader, everyone is a leader. Everyone can be a leader. Maybe that would be a better way to say it.
Because yeah, let's
I think that
a little bit.
Because I think that you're exactly right. There are some people that the potential to be a leader is there if the Holy Spirit is in them. Let me say that, because I mean, clearly there are some people when it comes specifically to leading a house church or a simple church ministry or even someone else to Christ, like there would be some people that may not be able to do that at this present moment,
right?
Because of a host of reasons, right? And so, but I believe that they could, perhaps tomorrow, or perhaps next year, or perhaps next week, you know?
Right.
So I guess that would be worth clarifying for
sure. Okay, yeah. So I'm with you there. And if you look at the disciples that Jesus picked out, and you look at all of them, and you think, where is the leadership potential that he saw in them? You know, it's not apparent. But then you look at the history of the church past Christ, it is very apparent that the Holy Spirit took hold of those guys and turned the world upside down with them. So he saw in them something that they didn't see. You know, they were fishermen, tax collectors, just ordinary blue-collar people. And, they turned the world upside down.
And here would be, and so I think this is to what you're saying, here would be an example of this, is that if you're married and you're listening to this podcast, if you're married, one thing I think about simple church leadership is that it is, if you're married, it's very much, there is a shared sense of it. So if your wife doesn't want to do, or your husband doesn't want to do simple church, then you're probably not going to be able to be a very effective house church leader today. Tomorrow, maybe you could. But it's not based on your status or your skills per se, or how much knowledge that you have. I think there is a sense in which anyone could be a leader if they're available and they're willing for God to mold them and shape them and use them. And if they're married, I think there is a sense too, which that their wife's willing to go on that journey with them. So I don't know.
Okay. And as I'm reflecting on the scriptures, I'm thinking in the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot about leadership, but he talks about it from the bottom up and not from the top down. And he talks about, and he demonstrated this throughout his whole ministry, is if you want to lead people, you need to be their servant.
Yeah.
And he demonstrated that strongly, during the Last Supper. I mean, he got down and literally washed the disciples' feet, which was something that would be unheard of for any person of authority or dignity to have done in that culture. But he did it, and he said, now, you see me, I did this, this is what you're going to have to do. Not literally wash people's feet, but have the humility to serve people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is so important in Simple Church, because what happens is that if we don't do that, then we end up, if you have the slightest hint, I think, in Simple Church of becoming this figure that's like the glue that holds it all together, then, and you're not really coming underneath other people and in helping empower them to lead and to be the ones up front and to share and to do ministry and to do these things, then you just end up being into this same old cycle of we've creating a dependency state that, right. Well, I'll show up at Gavin's house and he'll lead the Bible study and he's going to lead the music and he'll take care of feeding everybody. And his house is, you know, we'll use his house and, you know, he's the one that's kind of doing it and he's in charge. And so we just kind of come and see what he has for us,
right.
You know, and that's the complete opposite. And there's no better way to kill, I think, a simple church or basically, I guess, seal its fate than to put yourself as the central figure who's like this upfront right. leader that's doing all the leading. And it's a very much a top, you kind of create again a top down system, even though it's much more smaller than some of the other type church structures. But that can really be detrimental to it.
Let's follow that chain of thought there. Okay, so you're starting a house church and you're the one that's doing all the things that you just mentioned. You're hosting and you've put together some kind of lesson and you organized music somehow, whether you're playing the guitar or you're playing YouTube. You're doing the prayer. You're doing everything. How do you encourage how do you encourage the people in your little gathering to step up and take some responsibility and to find their positions of leadership or their positions of servanthood? You know, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think the answer is that day one, you don't do everything if at all possible. And if you do day one, do everything, then you've already set a precedent for it. Yeah. Yep. So I think you don't do everything. And so that actually might mean that your first house church gathering or leader, you know, time together might be very short lived. I try to, again, communicating to everyone what this is and what it isn't, that it's not a place where you're going to come hear me. This is going to be a family of people that are going to gather together from time to time to follow Jesus, and that we're going to do the one anotherings, and then really holding to that, you know. And for people who have natural, I guess, upfront type gifts, it's easy for them, perhaps, if no one else says anything, to just start talking and share they've given a 30-minute sermon before it's all said and done, you know, rather than giving a 2-minute sermon or a 5-minute sermon, then say, now is the time for, you know, we want to hear from everyone else, mm-hmm. then letting it be quiet. And if no one else came to share that week, being okay to say, okay, well, it's been great meeting here with you guys today, or kind of moving on and not trying to, you know, basically showing people, no, we really are serious about other people contributing to the, mm-hmm. and giving voice. This isn't a place where you just come hear me talk. You know, and I think initially you have to really, it might be awkward at first you have to do some seemingly odd things to really let people see that you're serious about that.
Right.
And I think having it in someone else's home is, you know, in if not the first week, the second week, making sure that other people really see, no, this isn't going to be my thing. This is going to be our thing. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot, Tom, you and I've talked about it, I think it's just a great way to think, and I think the scriptures give us this metaphor for church for a reason, but if we think about church as a family, mm-hmm. then we, I think, get a very good picture of what leadership is to look like. And certainly when you're starting something, if you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking about starting a simple church, you're going to be the one, you're probably going to be the one that's going to have some of that vision, some of that initiative in the beginning. But just like a parent, you know, you don't want to have an 18-year-old child that's still needing a bib on and you sitting there to feed them the food, you know. Obviously, people develop at different rates. Simple churches grow and develop at different rates. But just like any good parent, you know, you're going to maybe have to do a little more at the beginning. You're going to have to then sort of start to turn some of that over. And then eventually you're going to send people out to begin their own families. And everything you're doing is sort of with that in mind in the community that you're in.
Right. Talking about leadership from a scriptural point of view, when we read the book of Acts and we read the letters of Paul, the letters of Peter and John and everyone, we do see that there was a need for overseers. We call them overseers, bishops, elders. There was a need for that as the church grew. And you know, if it grows beyond, you know, the level of your own living room or someone else's living room, then I think you need to start looking at a little bit more formalized leadership. And this is where the scripture talks about two different, if you want to call them offices of the church. And I think even simple church needs to do this as well, or at least think about them as they grow. And one is the elder, and one is the deacon. The deacon is kind of a more of a servant, hands-on kind of expert kind of guy. And then the elder or bishop or overseer is more of a exactly what he sounds like. He oversees, he directs, and he can be as involved as he needs to be. And Paul lays out qualifications for both of these offices in the scriptures, and this is something that we really need to take seriously. And the qualifications have nothing whatsoever to do with training or background, knowledge, anything like that. It has everything to do, and even in the case of a deacon, it has everything to do with your character and your responsiveness to Christ. So, you know, for example, in Titus, here are some of the qualifications of an elder. If you're going to put somebody in charge, here's what you need to do. He needs to be someone above reproach. So that's, wow, that's pretty strong, above reproach. Who do we know that's above reproach, you know? The husband of one wife, that's an issue we can talk about later. His children are believers, but mostly character, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. I'm reading from the ESV. Debauchery or insubordination. He's a steward. He must be above reproach. Must not be arrogant, quick-tempered, drunkard, violent, greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. And he must hold firmly to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So he goes on and on talking about, you know, people who aren't that way. But the bottom line is, as we're thinking about our leadership, let's put those people, if we have to put someone in charge, let's put those people in charge that try to fit this character. You know, that, you know, above reproach, that's getting harder and harder to find nowadays. But, you know, do the best we can to find someone who's above reproach.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that, you know, you and I have talked off podcasts, and even I think in old podcasts, about this whole idea of elders and deacons. That's something that I still, you know, I'm still working through in my own mind. I have a lot of questions about it. I mean, a lot of times I think we tend to kind of, and I know you agree with this, it's not necessarily a position, but it's not a title. These are descriptors, and that's, you did a great job explaining that. These are descriptions of the kind of people that God uses. And, mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, one thing just, I guess I would say toward that is that I don't think that we have to, I think there is space in the scriptures for letting these people develop over time.
Yes.
And so a lot of times, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with people about leadership, and the first thing they want to do is immediately say, okay, we're going to start a house church. Okay, who's going to be the elder? Who's going to be the deacon? Who are going to be these people? And
Exactly.
I have a lot of questions about some of this. You know, one, as a sidebar, I think that a lot of times those people were recognized in these as these elders and deacons were kind of recognized in that for an entire city or a region. But that's another thing. It wasn't always like each individual house church, maybe right. in some cases. But again, that brings up a kind of whole can of worms. I would encourage you to, the principle being that there's room, I think, to let these people come up from the ground. And so,
yeah.
you know, we see this all the time. And I had conversations and we started, well, okay, let's figure out who's going to be the elders and deacons. Well, it's like, let's wait and see if people emerge as elders and deacons and become, and are these people.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's room to do that. You see Paul going and kind of recognizing these people sometimes years after the church had been started.
Exactly.
So when we start a church, you know, as we think about being a leader, you know, I think those are some important things to consider.
Yeah. We have a concept in our church that, you know, we've tried to keep our leadership minimal as far as, you know, we're not top down and we're not trying to establish a hierarchy or anything like I'm over you or you're not the boss of me or anything like that. Anytime we've decided to install someone as a leader, it's because there's been a need for it. If there's not a need for it, we're good. If things are running properly, we're good.
Yeah.
So, you know, and in our church we have a plurality of elders, and we're not sitting around week by week planning everything, or you know, maybe we should do a little bit more of that, but you know, we're not interfering with what each church is doing. Unless we run into a problem, unless, you know, as overseers we're to shepherd the flock and direct. But if it ain't broke, we're not fixing it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
If they're studying the word and they're being the church, you know, we're not interfering with them. But if there, a problem arises, that's kind of when we step in and say, time out, let's look at this. Let's examine this.
My experience is, if you're relationally, if you're the kind of leader that's very much, it's, you're serving people, that a lot of times even stepping in is not something that's, it's the only loving thing. That it's not like you're showing up and pulling out your leadership card.
Right.
You've usually been called by somebody and said, hey man, we don't really know what to do here. Can you all pray for this? You know, in our network here, we have times where leaders can even get together.
So even if, even if you don't have recognized leaders, you know, in like Elder Gavin, Elder Tom, you know, even if you don't have that, when a problem comes up, think about those people that they're going to call.
Yeah, people know who the elders. They kind of know.
They kind of know. Yeah. It's like we said, leaders kind of float to the surface.
Yeah, and I would just I think Tom and I pretty much agree on this. We might have some slight differences on thoughts on it, but my encouragement to be, and if you're a part of a house church or thinking about starting a simple church network, to delay titling people elders and deacons as long as possible.
At least a year.
As long as possible, because let people show that they are going to make disciples, and they're going to multiply disciples, and they're going to make disciples who can make other disciples, and that they're going to be people that are going to be great at leading house churches and simple churches, and that the title, when they are given it, if you're going to give it to them, will mean zero to them.
Right.
And let that just emerge, because I think people do. I had a guy tell me one time, because I was wrestling with this issue, and he said, he's a guy I really respect in our city. And in fact, if I were to say, well, who are the elders in the city church of Lexington, Kentucky, he would be one of the guys. And I asked him about this issue, and he said, when people used to come to me and ask me, well, who are the elders and deacons? And I would ask them to, well, who do you think are the elders and deacons? Who are the people that when you look at them, you see Christ in them and you want to be like them? That's the person that is going to be there. You've given them the authority to speak in your life. You've given them that authority. You know, one thing I'll throw out here as we wrap up this conversation, and this is a topic that we could probably keep going on and on, and so we'll probably, I'm sure, revisit, because leadership is important. This is a great little acronym that's been used many a times. People that do this sort of thing, it's called MAWL, M-A-W-L, MAWL. And I think this is a great way, as you think about leadership, it's model, assist, watch, and then leave. This is kind of, and if you think about it, it's kind of a way of family leadership and a family works. You model for them the life, model for them what a family looks like. Then, you know, you watch them start to do some responsibilities and things, and you kind of take a little step back. And then, then you assist folks in leading and maybe praying, doing ministry, hosting, sharing the Lord's Supper. You assist them as they kind of do it, and then you sort of step back and then you watch them do it, and you're not really involved at all. And then eventually you leave, or they leave. And that's kind of the way we do in family in a lot of ways. So that's just a great acronym, I think, for leadership: MAL, model, assist, watch, leave. Maybe something that you can sort of write down or jot down might be a way to even begin discussing with those folks that you're involved in, how, or your spouse if you're married, how am I going to implement this kind of leadership where I model, assist, watch, and leave in what we're doing and what God has us involved in right now.
That's very apostolic, isn't it, that model, because that's exactly what the apostles did. That's exactly what Paul did. He never stayed in a place very long, maybe 2.5-3 years, but he did that. He modeled, he assisted, he watched, and he left. But he also followed up through his letters, and you know, it wasn't like he abandoned them when he left. He you know, watched from afar, and
And you know, we think about, you know, and to me, I think sometimes I read about how Paul and how the early church started. It really is amazing. Like, I think sometimes that you think about, we live in such a digital age, everything's so fast-paced, but and you know, even just we can travel distance to get there. But you know, you got Paul, who sometimes was with folks for a short period of time, and church was started, and he left, and you see him communicating. But those letters, how many of those letters? It wasn't like today. I mean, that letter, it might take years to write. You know, there might have been vast time spans before communications was happening. You know, but he had this trust that, you know what, the Holy Spirit is the head of the church. He's going to lead these people, and they're going to make mistakes. And when they do, I'll write them a letter and kind of give them my 2 cents worth and call them to Christ and back to the things that we taught them originally. But he really did, you do see that there was a great willingness to entrust people to the Lord, and he cared deeply about these people. When you leave, you don't stop caring. Just like when a child leaves a house, you don't say, well, I'm done with that child and never to think about him again. You care deeply. You pray for them. You check in with them, and it's not leaving in the sense of goodbye, see, never see again. Right. That's not what we're meaning, but you're willing to maybe
step aside.
Yeah, let that person begin a new work and begin a new simple church and begin, you know, sometimes leaving is forced, sometimes it's a decision we make, but MAL is a great acronym, I think, that helps, is very instructive in house church and discipleship in general.
Good. So that's a little bit about leadership. We could go into more detail maybe in the future.
Yeah, here would be an assignment. I don't think we've given this one yet, but I would really highly encourage everyone, and we'll link this up on the Keep It Simple podcast, but there's just a great video. It's probably, this could probably bleed into the stuff I like, but probably my favorite video about Simple Church is a video called Simple Church Leadership or Upside Down Leadership. It was produced by the folks at House to House, and we have it linked up on our SimpleChurchAlliance.com website under Introduction, but we'll link it up on the Keep It Simple podcast website as well. This is just a great video. This week, if you've not watched it, I want to encourage you to watch it with those people in your Simple Church that are in your Simple Church. Sit down with them. It's 20 minutes, 18 minutes maybe. It's well worth watching because I think it does about as good a job as anything I've ever seen of kind of laying out what it means to be a leader in God's kingdom and in His church.
Good. We'll put that link on the website. And if you have any comments or questions, we'd like to hear from you. You just go to the keepitsimplepodcast.com and leave a comment. You can rate us on iTunes. We welcome your emails, your comments. You can even record a little video for us. We'll play it on the air maybe. And we just love to hear from you. All right, so Gavin, what do you like this week?
Yeah, let me...
While we're on a roll.
All right.
You don't like anything this week? Okay, I'll tell you what I like. Let's see. I just saw a movie. Got it out of the red box. And I would encourage you to watch it just because it would raise some awareness of some ethical issues and maybe spark some conversations. But I'm not here to review the movie or anything like that because I'm not a movie critic. I just enjoy movies. But just saw recently, what's it called? Eye in the Sky. And it has Helen Mirren and Rick, or what's his name? Yeah, what's his name? But basically, what the plot of the movie is, there's an anti-terrorist team from elements of several nations, you know, and they've tracked down these really, really notorious bad terrorists that are on these watch lists, and they know that they're bad, and they've got them in this one central location, in fact, in a house. And they know this because they've got drones everywhere, they got pictures, they got cameras everywhere, and they got a drone overhead circling with some missiles, and they're ready to take them out. And they're ready to push the button, and this child shows up in front of the house and sets up a little bakery, she's selling some bread, and she's going to be there all day. So now they're all scratching their head, well, you know, what's this child's life worth compared to these terrorists? And I'm not going to tell you how it turned out, but it's a good movie as far as, you know, making you think of ethical issues, like, you know, drone strikes is you know, in particular, what are the criteria, the sword, you know, the sword of the nation, you know, how much authority does God give each nation to deal with evil and to eliminate evil, and what we should, how we should weigh that against, you know, individual lives and things like that. So I encourage you, you know, it's rated R, except, you know, it just has some language, maybe some, a little bit of gore, but it's you know, if you're if you can tolerate that, it's a good movie to make you think and discuss. So yeah. I wouldn't show it to your church or anything like that, but just it's a good movie.
Well, let me tell you stuff I like this week. I want to tell you guys, and I feel like, you know, one thing I think about, maybe this segment will lead to us getting some paid advertisement. Who knows about this? Because we've got so many bills to pay around here to keep this podcast up and running. Your gas bill that you keep from driving down here. But yeah, I feel like this kind of almost sounds like a commercial. But something I really enjoyed lately along those lines of movies is this. There's a new app out called VidAngel. If you haven't heard about it, you maybe check it out. As a family, we like to watch movies, and there's movies like that you know, different movies that you may think, wow, there could be some really good redeeming qualities to this, but there's this one scene, or they're going to say, you need to take the Lord's name in vain, or, you know, whatever, so many times, and it kind of ruins the whole experience. Well, I'm very impressed with this app called VidAngel, and we've used it as our family several times to watch some movies. But basically, without getting into all the details, you can check it out. But you basically rent it for $1. You kind of have to buy the movie first and then resell it to them. You buy it for $20, and then you resell it to them for $19 the next day. Hence, you pay $1 for it. And that's because once you buy it, quote unquote, you're able to go in, and they have all these filters that you can take everything out of. You can take scenes, and it spells it out very in detail. You can take out all the scenes or some, but it's kind of it's been a good thing. We run, went with the family a while back to vacation. Well, we wore that out because that's one of the things we like to do is watch movies and as a family. And that really opened the door for us to watch some movies that we've never really been able to watch. So check that out, VidAngel. And I think that might be something that's some stuff there that I've really been into and liking lately. It's been been kind of a cool thing. Something I've always kind of wished was out there. I think there is a lawsuit being filed against the company by some of the Hollywood folks. They don't like this for some reason, but for at least for now, and hopefully for a long time, that'll be a great service to folks out there that want to, at the very least, if you have your parents over to watch a movie, you know, you don't have to watch like a long kiss. You can just take out the long kiss, and you don't have to have that uncomfortable feeling of sitting there with your mom and dad watching two people kiss.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah. See you next week. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.